Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. This is Brian Beeler. With me on the podcast today, Kevin O'Brien, our test lab coordinator. Kevin, how's it going?
Doing pretty well.
That's good. It's been a busy week, and we're shaking up the way we do the podcast a little bit. The interview format we were using before was great, had a lot of good information, but we want to give you guys something a little bit different this time around and see how it goes. We're going to talk about the week. I was over in Austin, Texas at the Dell Technology Summit. I'll give you an update about that. Kevin will give you an update about what's going on in the lab, and we'll go from there. Monday, I shot down to Austin. It's really bizarre. I got there, it was 72 degrees, everything was feeling great. Went to go get lunch, walk out of the restaurant, and it was just frigid, absolutely terrible, windy. Felt like Ohio, which I had just left to go for Texas, and I was not alone in my disappointment with the weather. Not a lot you can do about it, but it was a little bit chilly in Austin. So Tuesday, we roll over. Big news coming out from Dell at the summit. The first thing is the new consumption pricing models that Dell's rolling out. They think that their customers want to engage that way and buy as a service and have some flexibility in the types of storage, types of cloud, types of compute that they're buying. Remains to be seen what the adoptions look like on that, but seems like that's a popular model going forward that others are trying to get involved into.
Yeah, NetApp at their Insight event recently just announced a similar pricing scheme. I'm kind of curious if anyone's buying it.
Yeah, I think it's early. NetApp, you're right, did do that a week or two ago out in Vegas. Cisco's doing it a little bit. The numbers Dell was talking about are pretty much all over the board, anywhere from a couple percentage in the next couple years to 20 to 25% was on the high side of what I was hearing. It's early days, though. Dell's got to have an answer for that type of request. It's coming up more and more often. Dell's still a little bit short on pricing details, so that'll have to come later. And it just remains to see what comes of that. The other big news was Power-One, which is a all Dell EMC top to bottom converged infrastructure solution. Dell's emphasis on this one, though, compared to some of their others, is automation. They call it autonomous infrastructure. That might be a little over top on marketing, but we'll see once we get some hands-on time there. They really feel like their insight into the full stack, be it PowerEdge, be it the MX7000, PowerMax, all the other things that are part of this, the switching, and the VMware stack gives them additional insight to be able to automate a lot of these tasks and let users do things that before would take dozens or hundreds of steps to provision and manage and report on and drive that down to almost nothing. One of the big questions about Power-One is around what other Dell infrastructure will be supported there. It sounds like, again, this is a sort of a version one sort of thing, that they'll be adding Unity support, Isilon, ECS, and other types of things later. But at this point, they're rolling out with the MX7000, as noted, and the PowerMax storage, which incidentally, had a conversation with some of the Intel team while I was out there. And they're really excited, Dell is too, about what they're doing with PowerMax when it comes to Optane and persistent memory. Modules. Dell's apparently done a lot of architecture work on the software to get the most out of the persistent memory modules, which is something I know in the lab you've been playing around with persistent memory quite a bit, and it works well a lot of the time, but to get the most out of it, really a custom software stack is what's needed, it sounds like.
It's done pretty well, but I still think that it's going to be a few generations before it catches on mainstream.
Yeah, I think so too. Intel obviously is still excited about it, though. It gives them a real differentiator in Cascade Lake-based platforms. And then, of course, the SSDs on the Optane side are continuing to do well. Great write profile and excellent spot as a cache or in tiering applications. We've seen it in vSAN. We've seen it in Azure Stack HCI. And in those cases, it actually does a really great job. But expect to see more out of there. We had a lot of conversation with Intel that is still confidential, but they've got some great stuff coming. So after the keynote Tuesday, we go into some breakout sessions, and those are all great. They dive into more detail around these products, and especially there were a number of questions, as noted, about PowerMax and some of the future support there. But just like any of these things, any of these events, they're packed, 45-minute sessions or hour sessions right after one another, and that's normally fine. But then you get into these spots where the schedulers are trying to get all the media and analysts exposed, all the different things, but then you look at that block where it's 2:15 to 3 o'clock is one thing, and 3 o'clock to 3:30 is something else. Now, normally that's no big deal, right? Because you just walk over to the next thing, you're a minute or two late, no problem. But half the program was at the Archer Hotel in the Domain, sort of North Austin, the other half at the Westin. Again, not typically a big deal, but those meetings that I had were separated by a quarter mile, 28 degree temperatures and wind. And I had to make a decision, right? Can't be in both places, can't do them both. So I asked my buddy Lon, who is in PR over there for Dell EMC, and he said, definitely go to Westin and do the 3 o'clock there. I said, that's great. I'll just bundle up and walk over there. They did have a shuttle, to be fair, but it's really hard to be from Ohio and to be used to that temperature and take a shuttle for a quarter mile ride. So I use that as my differentiator to give the people from California a hard time that weren't used to that cold weather. And I packed up my stuff, walked with Patrick from Serve the Home. We go over there and we're waiting for the meeting, and quickly realized that the special thing about this meeting is that we get to sit down in a round table with Michael Dell and Matt Baker. And so you know that, you start to figure it out. I'm sitting outside, we're getting cheddar cheese popcorn and a Diet Coke, having a little snack before we go in. And so you got to be ready to ask a question, right? You go to these panels, there's a bunch of people sitting there, a lot of international media in this one, but you have to be ready. And the problem is that everybody wants to ask the obvious question. And that's exactly what happened here. There was a guy to my right who starts in right away. There's always the eager first guy that's got to get in, got to get the question. So he starts in and he's asking about Dell EMC's development in India and what are they doing in Bangalore and what's the R&D plan and all this other stuff. And that's great. He's doing what he's got to do for his audience. To my left is Patrick from Serve the Home. I can feel him sort of brewing a question. I'm working on a question. And so Michael gives a nice long explanation about what they're doing in India, and very polite, great answer. I think Matt Baker tossed something in on there as well. And then there was another international question, which is cool. And then I went for it. I sprung with my question. And what I'm trying to do at these things is, we see Michael Dell all the time and talk to him a number of times, and really smart guy. And he's really focused on the message of the content that they had in the day, their goals for 2030. Incidentally, someone asked him about his goals for 2040, and he laughed a little bit and he said, come to the 2030 meeting and we'll tell you all about that. But you want to come up with something different. So I'm sitting there and I said, well, Michael, I mean, it's great that you've got all these new announcements. The Power One sounds great. The consumption model's great. Your sustainability vision, your equality vision for 2030, all fantastic stuff. Love it all. But what do you do during the day? Do you sit around and look over the shoulders of the engineers and see what they're up to and aggravate them? And he and Matt and the rest of the Dell people in the room all started breaking up laughing, which was pretty hilarious because evidently he is extraordinarily hands-on and loves to be a part of everything they're doing over there, which is great. You know, a lot of leaders, CEOs for these tech firms aren't like that. He, of course, grew up in his garage building things, you know, building PCs, eventually building PowerEdge, and now has quite the company. But somehow I found it rewarding to know that he still messes around with the technology in his free time. So anyway, it was a good time. I'm glad to have done that. Michael was insightful and funny, and I actually got a little selfish with Matt Baker at the end. I always try to figure out, I've got a 16-year-old kid in high school, I always try to figure out where these guys should be going, what they should be doing. The obvious answer is data science. Everyone says that's the next threshold. But you know, to be fair, not every kid, you know, maybe not my kid, is going to be the math wizard required to do that. So, you know, he had actually a pretty great answer, and he blamed some of his baldness for having a bright green mohawk through some of his younger days. And I'm not sure the two are related, but he essentially said, be yourself, go try to do a bunch of things, and life will work itself out. He had a very sort of zen, chill vibe about him, and that was pretty fun. So we carried on a couple other meetings there. By the time this is over, it's getting pretty close to happy hour. So, as I am wont to do, I head over to the Archer Bar, meet up with Patrick from Serve the Home. You know, it's funny, people think there's always this adversational relationship amongst publishers. He does a lot of server work, we do some server work, he does some storage, we do a lot of storage. That because there's overlap, that there must be some sort of like publisher deathmatch showdown at these events. It's actually really cordial. You know, talk to Patrick all the time, talk to a lot of the other guys, ran into Meller from the Register at the NetApp event a couple weeks ago. I had a nice conversation with him. You know, everything goes pretty well, though Kevin does get a little upset with this one particular writer that sometimes refuses to shake his hand. I'm not really sure about that.
No comment.
But anyway, it's normally fun and social, and so we're hanging out at the bar. Some of the PR team comes over. Lon Leviton comes for a visit. Katia from the agency. Sam Grocott from Storage Team Seattle comes over. And we're just having fun waiting for the buses to go to the evening event. And you know, this is where you learn the important things about people. And that's about their dogs. We had a lot of dog photos. I've got a golden doodle and two dachshunds. I was unable to find the dachshund photos, but the golden doodle's front of mind in our family right now, and that's been a great dog. The dachshunds are good too, but they're like, what are those little dinosaurs that were in Jurassic Park? You know, when that guy's running through the creek and they're like 50 or 60 of them chasing after him. I don't know what those little things are, like little miniature raptor guys.
Oh no, I still prefer my Australian Shepherd. She's usually a good cleanup dog. It's kind of the roving garbage disposal.
Well, that's what you get that of the dachshunds too, but they're little bitey guys, and one of them won't kill you, but if you have about 40 or 50, you're in trouble. Anyway, so we're hanging out doing dog photos. Lon's got the black schnauzer that's pretty cool, and Sam's like, I got a picture of my dog too. Hold on. He's doing the thing, scrolling through his phone. Now, Sam's dog's a unique dog. It's a pug, so you already have an image of what it looks like. And pugs, like the bulldogs, I mean, I think you're either all in or all out on those kind of guys. I like the smashy faces. I can relate to that. But his dog is like Pumbaa from The Lion King. He's got these tusks almost underneath that stick out. And the funny thing is, he looks exactly like Sam. You know, they say that people look like their dogs. Well, that dog and Sam are one and the same. Anyway, we're sitting there. One other thing, and I attend a lot of bars, so I pay attention to stuff like this. There was a really bizarre activity happening there. They've got behind the bar a wine glass, a champagne glass, and a spirits glass, for lack of a better word. And there's three of them, and they all have a red line at the top. So that's basically their fill line. I've never worked in a bar, but I've sat at enough and observed these things. And so what I'm seeing is they've got a bunch of beer on tap, they've got some wine on tap, and then they've got the champagnes and bottles and that sort of thing. And this guy is pouring wine out of the tap, but because he's doing it with a tap, he's using both hands. So he can't pour it and compare it to the line at the same time. So he pours it, he goes over, he sets it next to the glass of the line. It's a little light. He goes over, he pours a little more, and this time he's got it and sends the glass on its way. That's not abnormal. What's really weird is that he does this a couple times, and one time he got too much wine in. And I don't know if it's a crime in Texas. I don't think it is, but he doesn't send it with a little bit of extra happiness in it. He takes it back and he dumps it out down the drain. And I thought just once that was a travesty. The guy does this three more times while we're sitting there for 45 minutes, and it really pissed me off. I don't know why. Maybe it's my respect for wine that aggravated me about it. And I must have been the only one. I tried to get everyone else upset about it too, but no one cared but me. The funny thing is I was at Carrabba's last night with Jamie, and we're sitting there, and I saw the same behavior. She pours the wine, not out of tap, because, you know, in Ohio, we don't have stuff like that. We've got Carrabba's, and you do what you could do. Anyway, she pours it in the glass and realizes there's too much. But what she does is at least a sane thing and pours it back into a bar glass. Now, what happened with that bar glass later, I don't care. But the wine definitely didn't go down the drain, which is a crime against humanity. All right, so at these media events, there's usually an event or a surprise or something to do. And Tuesday night, Dell EMC rented out Troublemaker Studios, which is something I didn't know about before. I had no idea that the film industry was so strong in Austin. We know about the barbecue, we know about the music, we know about Austin being a cool place to be. But this place was really neat. It's actually where they did the work for Alita. And, you know, I'm kind of a moron sometimes. I saw Alita was on the plane on Delta on the way down, but I was busy and didn't get a chance to watch it. Still haven't seen the whole thing, although I did catch some of it on the return flight. Did you see Alita, Kevin?
I saw it. It was pretty interesting, but I don't know. I think my kids liked it more.
Oh, your kids liked it?
Yeah, well, it depends on what they're growing after.
How old are your kids? Three.
My oldest is six. He seems to enjoy it.
All right. Okay. I'm only halfway through. I'm not really sure it's a three-year-old kind of movie, but it was cool because the main area they have at the beginning where they're underneath the Sky City or whatever that's called, where he finds the Alita and builds the girl, that's what they have built. It's still there. So when we're walking around the streets and getting food and all that sort of thing, it's on that set. Now, of course, you know, the city in the sky wasn't there, but a lot of other stuff was. They actually tied in with some of that messaging around the Sky City. Dell used to do this thing. I don't know if it's connected to this. They had this EMC code thing back in the day, and they had a big emphasis on drones. But they must have had, I don't know what the count was, 150 or maybe more drones, all with lights on them. And they were doing like a what's that swimming thing, the Olympics, the synchronized swimming. It was like that, but it wasn't six people in a pool or however. I don't even know how many people are on a synchronized swimming team.
Do you know? Like 10, 20, something like
20?
That.
20? Not at the same time.
I don't watch it, so.
Well, why are you guessing 20 if you don't watch it?
Seems like a good number.
That's a terrible number. Anyway, they have all these drones going. I was watching it, but again, it was so cold out, I didn't bother to get my hands out and take a photo. John Siegel actually took a great one. I'm going to retweet it now. If you take a look at our Twitter storage review, at storage review, you'll see it. They had a little cameo at the end in there that says Power One Rocks with the little drones flying around. It was neat. It was kind of like a fireworks show, but without all the carbon exploding. But that was smart. They handed out hats and gloves and hand warmers to all the soft people from California that aren't used to this kind of weather. The one big disappointment is that apparently Franklin Barbecue was there and they catered the event. And Franklin Barbecue is one of those places where you've got to get up early and wait in line to get it. I haven't been, by the time I got to it, it was a little chilly, so I almost said my review would be lukewarm, but I don't. That was probably not a good joke. Anyway, so we kept on going. We got cowboy hats made. We had a great time. The cowboy hat thing was weird, though. Have you ever bought a cowboy hat?
No, I want to, though.
Why is that?
I mow the yard a lot.
But you're not a cowboy.
No, it keeps the sun off well, though.
Do you wear cowboy boots when you mow the yard?
No, but I think it goes well with a pair of tennis shoes.
Oh, dear Lord, that would be fantastic. Cowboy boots, cut-off jeans, and a cowboy hat. Maybe a tank top?
Yes.
Do you have a tank top?
I do.
Nice. I don't own a tank top. But so they had this thing set up for cowboy hats, which is fun. I don't have a cowboy hat, and apparently neither does Kevin. So you walk in, and they have four or five shelves of cowboy hats, and each shelf has a different style. And then if you go left to right, there's five or six different colors. Here's the thing, though. I don't know what kind of cowboy I am. What kind of cowboy are you?
Not sure. I think one that wears a brown hat, though.
See, how do you know? How do you know you're a brown hat cowboy?
Well, that's the color that comes to mind first. You gotta go with your instinct.
Okay, so that's fair. At least you would know the color, so you could segment down to like 20% of the remaining hats and go from there. So I said to the guy, I said, I just don't know what kind of cowboy I am. And I don't know what to make of this. But he reached over and he got the gray cowboy hat. So there were a lot of people that knew they wanted to be white hats, a lot that knew they wanted to be black hats. You wanted to be a brown hat. There were about three shades of brown. And he says, I should be a gray hat cowboy. I don't know what to read into that.
I can't answer that one for you.
Yeah, neither can I. I thought long and hard about it, but he took it. I put it on, got a different size. Then he takes it and he puts it over this steamer. And if you've never seen a cowboy hat being folded, that's another whole thing I had no idea about. You can fold the thing and do all these different things. And anyway, cowboy hat is being shipped back to the lab. As soon as I have it, I'll take a picture and share it with you guys. And you can judge which sort of cowboy I am. And I'm a little afraid already of what the answers are going to be.
Can you wear that while driving?
Ooh. Well, no, I don't.
Head out the sunroof?
No, it's not a height thing so much as the back of the brim thing hitting the headrest.
Pop off the headrest. I mean, it'll fit.
They do it in the TV shows. Maybe that's the right play. But every time they've got cars with the headrests out, someone's normally getting shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, there's problems you can work through.
not if you're splattered on the windshield. All right, so that filled out Tuesday. That was a great day. Wednesday, so here's the other thing. It's the end of the year, we're coming off a ton of travel, and when you do that, it starts to get a little tiring. They were doing lab tours on Wednesday, which is great. I've been to the Dell EMC labs in Round Rock several times. In fact, I was just down there a couple weeks ago, and love labs, but decided it was time to head home early. I swapped flights, got the nonstop from the one stop in Atlanta. So instead of getting home at 9:30, I'm home at 4. It's perfect. I get home in time to get the little kid off the bus. I'm all excited. I'm going to take him to tennis. I get him in the house and I say, all right, buddy, dad's home. Let's go to tennis. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to go to tennis today. So that was exciting to race all the way home and not to get to execute that. But we did go to dinner, checked out The Mandalorian, which had come out Tuesday, which everyone was talking about. You saw Mandalorian, I assume?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've had Disney Plus for a few months now, although I haven't been able to use it for a few months.
Why have you had Disney Plus for a few months?
I bought the buy 2 years, get one free, so I'm locked in until like 2022.
You don't have Netflix, but you have two years?
I have Netflix. I just don't have anything else.
Oh, you're okay. Well, two services, that's enough to get it done for most people. I don't know if we should talk much about Mandalorian. I think that might aggravate people that haven't seen it yet. But if you haven't seen it, you're kind of in own damn fault territory. Gosh, the end was pretty cute, though, wasn't it?
I think Han shot first.
Damn it, you just ruined it. All right, well, there's a new episode out tonight. It's only an 8-episode run, so be sure to... Or I'm sure it's out today. I'll be watching tonight. We'll be checking that out. The rest of the week, we've been busy with news. Adam has, I think... He says 500, but I think it's probably closer to 40 press releases he's working through. Next week is KubaCon. We've got a lot of content up now. Vendors are getting out ahead of time, but we've got all the usual suspects, Dell, HPE, VMware, all the regular guys. In addition to, anytime you go to KubaCon, you're going to get half of the room is science projects. So all those guys are sharing their information too.
Although we're reviewing one item that's not really a science project, it's pretty well built. And after the podcast drops, we'll be having that review up, and it should be pretty exciting.
That's Diamante you're talking about, right?
Yeah, their D10 container storage.
Yeah, Tom and I met them out in KubaCon last year in Seattle, and I was telling people that day, you know, when you walk around the show floor, you've got NetApp, you've got Dell, you've got VMware, you've got the big tech names, which are sometimes actually a little bit foreign to that audience, the test dev market, the born-in-the-cloud guys that are embracing Kubernetes. When I met with the guys from Diamante, they were totally down to earth, had a platform, and, you know, it's taken us some time to get this review done, but that's coming out in just a few minutes after we finish this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're also working on the NetApp 800 with a look at their 32 gig end-to-end NVMe over Fabrics solution.
Right. So how is that different than the review we posted? We posted an initial review of the 800. So just talk about the differences there for people that may not be up to speed on that.
FCP is the traditional standard that has been in the lab or data center for quite a while. We tested 16 gig fiber end-to-end previously, and the current round uses 32 gig end-to-end, which brings in the NVMe over Fabric standard as native. And the biggest change is lower latency and better performance.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, NetApp's certainly on the front edge of NVMe over Fabrics. I know Dell EMC's got some stuff going on there too, especially with PowerMax, but NetApp's been there for some time now. And even their mid-market arrays are embracing that. So that's pretty cool. All right, we're going to wrap this up. We'll be back with a summary of what Kevin and Tom find out at KubeCon in San Diego next week. Adam will have a bunch of news around that event coming out starting Monday, and we'll be back at it. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.